This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Right here in New York, where right now you are watching on the other side of your screen, a motorcade escort of the indicted, twice impeached, disgraced ex-president Donald Trump. He is en route from his airplane, which landed at LaGuardia to Manhattan.
Now it appears they've moved past some of those dangerous areas with planes taking off and landing, and they have a pretty good view again of O.J. Simpson in the lead car, the Bronco. The highway is clearing. Some people stopping as they see the and hear the police vehicles coming. Many people stopping simply to take a look at what is happening.
And welcome back. I am Caitlin Collins. We are broadcasting live outside of Trump Tower because the former president has just landed here in New York. And as you can see now from your screen, his motorcade is making their way to Trump Tower, where Trump will spend the night tonight before he arrives at a Manhattan courthouse tomorrow for his arraignment. That is where he will go before a judge. The indictment against him will be unsealed.
Shot that is bringing us in closer. And while it is closer, we are still not able to discern
another angle for us there.
If O.J. Simpson is in the back, it would appear that they have their flashing lights on, the distress lights, lights you use when you pull over and you want to alert the fellow motorists that you're having trouble.
So President Trump's motorcade on the move, headed from LaGuardia to Manhattan. Welcome to The Lead. I'm Jake Tapper, and we start today with this momentous event in our politics lead, a historic and unprecedented indictment of a former president, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump landed at LaGuardia Airport just a short while ago. The former president expected to arrive soon at Trump Tower. He is expected to spend the night there ahead of his arraignment tomorrow afternoon at the Manhattan Criminal Courthouse, where Mr. Trump is expected to voluntarily surrender.
Good afternoon. On behalf of Attorney General Merrick Garland, we are honored to have my esteemed colleague, Administrator Regan, here with us today.
You know, far too many Black and Latinx and indigenous communities bear the highest burden of pollution.
President Biden and Attorney General Garland understand that the brunt of the harm caused by pollution and climate change is often borne by communities of color and low-income communities.
Alvin Bragg has just hired a top prosecutor, Matthew Colangelo, and Colangelo is being hired primarily to reignite the criminal investigations of Donald Trump. Colangelo was also involved in a lot of challenges to Trump-related policies when Trump was still in office.
So now, to perform an act of resuscitation back from the dead, he's brought on Matt Colangelo, very tough Trump adversary, working for the office of the New York Attorney General, where they have really gone after Donald Trump. Now he's going to try to do the same for the Manhattan DA.
You're making connections. You're connecting dots and doing the interlinkage here. You've actually done the chain of custody right back to the Biden White House. Can you explain it to the audience, Mike Davis?
That's the connection. When Colangelo's working in the Biden Justice Department in this key post, that's when he's working with Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, and that's who Jordan needs to subpoena. Get him to come testify, get his documents, get his communications. He is the link between Alvin Bragg, the Biden Justice Department, to show that this is lawfare. This is a coordinated effort to take out Trump because they fear they cannot beat him in the polls, so they simply indicted him.
This is the culmination of a long process, at least the curtain coming down on Act 1 and coming up on Act 2. This just didn't happen. This didn't come out of nowhere. This is these radicals of Obama and Holder, what they did with DOJ, obviously started bad in the Clinton administration. You had the Bushes that didn't put an end to it, didn't get all over the Civil Rights Division, which was a festering
a cauldron of radicals, and now you're seeing it. Matt Colangelo, let's make him infamous today. Let's get that photo out everywhere. Matt Colangelo. This is him. Jordan ought to be bringing that guy in. He ought to stop his Easter recess today, convene the committee tomorrow, and bring Colangelo into court.
So yeah. They want to gag order him. Will this happen? What is
it? I'm going to tell you right now, you're trying to get, look, if they do it, that tells the country everything. And you know, a gag order to silence a candidate, the leading candidate, number one, number two, to silence the defendant in a case where the plaintiff, the state of New York, the DA Bragg has leaked, and we know this for a fact because we don't have the indictment. He leaked 30 to 34 indictments. How do we know that? We know that because it came from their camp, and it could only come from their camp. And that, by the way, Benny, is a felony. So if they're gonna gag my client, they're gonna gag my client. Number one, we will be fighting First Amendment issues left, right, and center. Number two, that is seriously un-American. You do not do that. Everybody has a right to free speech. You know, people keep asking me the same question, CNN and whatever I go on. They think they're going to get me in a corner with, you know, your client said protest. Absolutely. That's another right. That's another right in this country. Just like guns, just like God. It's a right. Don't mess with our rights. And if you're going to mess with the rights of the loudest people, then you're going to hear it from the rest of the country. And other people like me are going to speak for him and say, this is not right. This is un-American. So if they do it, I want everybody to pay attention. They try and put a gag order on a defendant who's being selectively prosecuted and persecuted. That's a problem.
Shot that is bringing us in closer. And while it is closer, we are still not able to discern
another angle for us there.
If O.J. Simpson is in the back, it would appear that they have their flashing lights on, the distress lights, lights you use when you pull over and you want to alert the fellow motorist that you're having trouble.
Prosecutorial.
This guy doesn't care about this, John. Right. He doesn't care about it. You know, New York is now the likes of Will Smith, I Am Legend. It's a zombie apocalypse. People are running around. They're afraid to go on the subways, afraid to walk to school or go to work, get on the buses because it's rampant with crime. It's filthy and disgusting. There's no quality of life. Okay, and this guy just lets a revolving door. He reduces felonies to misdemeanors. He doesn't go after violent criminals. It's a complete disaster. He should be thrown out of office. For all of these reasons, he has completely failed to serve his oath and his office by making New York a safe place to live. He has not. He is endangering women, children, families, communities, putting businesses out of work because he is not doing his job. Instead, he's hell-bent on persecuting Donald Trump. But there will be accountability in this case. And Alvin Bragg should be very worried about that. He doesn't deserve the perceived, esteemed office that he is holding because he has violated the trust of the American people and he has destroyed New York City.
It is the number one responsibility of any government entity. Just make sure your constituents are safe. And we're not seeing that with Alvin Bragg. Kimberly Guilfoyle, great to see you. Thank you.
Why Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump is not Chris Christie. Because Donald Trump is not Asa Hutchinson. Because Donald Trump is not Larry Hogan. Because Donald Trump is not your typical Washington Republican. Donald Trump is a really unique historic figure who has been standing up to all of these elements in the Democrat Party and increasingly in the Republican Party and in the media. He's a man who uses common sense. He's conservative, but not by ideology, by experience and practice. He loves his country. He has tried to confront these elements within the country who do not love the country or are perfectly happy with the status quo. He took the third term of Obama by defeating Hillary Clinton. It was Hillary Clinton's turn, and he defeated her. They were surprised. And they have spent every waking moment to try and destroy him, and they fear him. And they fear if he comes back, he will be even more effective in a second term than he was in a first term. This is absolutely hard what's taking place. We have crossed the Rubicon now. We've crossed the Rubicon now where a former president who is the number one contender for the Republican nomination has been targeted and attacked. They seek to imprison him, not just charge him, but imprison him under charges in Washington, they hope, in Atlanta, they hope, in New York, they hope. They seek to overwhelm him, imprison him on state charges and on federal charges, and choose the Republican nominee by the Democrat Party.
Some rabble-rousers thinking about coming to our city tomorrow, our message is clear and simple. Control yourselves. New York City is our home, not a playground for your misplaced anger. We are the safest large city in America because we respect the rule of law in New York City. And although we have no specific threats, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is known to spread misinformation and hate speech, she stated she's coming to town. While you're in town, be on your best behavior. As always, we will not allow violence or vandalism of any kind. And if one is caught participating in any act of violence, they will be arrested and held accountable, no matter who you are. And I want to again thank the police department, the commissioner, for their response and for the necessary preparation as we deal with this major historical potential event that will take place in the city. At this time, I'd like to introduce the police commissioner of the city of New York.
Now it appears they've moved past some of those dangerous areas with planes taking off and landing, and they have a pretty good view again of O.J. Simpson in the lead car, the Bronco. The highway is clearing. Some people stopping as they see the and hear the police vehicles coming. Many people stopping simply to take a look at what is happening.
Pilate is there, and he talks to Jesus, and he says, "Well, you know, what have you done?" He says, "I find no guilt in you." And then he goes out to the crowd, and he says, "Shall I release for you the King of the Jews?" And the crowd says, "Crucify him." And Pilate says, "Well, what wrong has he done?" They don't give any wrong. The crowd just says, "Crucify him." And Pilate bows to their pressure. This passion of Jesus Christ is a perfect example of going after a man in search of a crime just in order to get rid of the man, rather than going after a crime in search of the people who did it. And that's why this indictment of President Trump turns America upside down, because it's an inversion of what the system of justice is supposed to be. The passion of Christ that we honor and celebrate during these days is a prosecutorial misconduct. It is a weaponization of the processes that in themselves are legitimate, but here they're being used against an enemy. So this is not to compare Jesus Christ with Donald Trump, but to compare the tactics of their enemies. The tactics of the enemy are always the same, and it's time for us to realize we got to fight back harder than ever before. There's no compromising with this.
Really quick, because I know we're running out of time, but she's part of the War Room posse and said she really loved everyone's coverage from Ohio. Why, and how does that compare to the circus we're seeing in New York?
Well, yes, we are seeing a circus, and your broadcasting is just so bittersweet. Bitter because of what we had to look at, and yet you reported on it. And sweet because you actually went there and you stood with those people and gave them support and showed them compassion. So what else can I say?
Monday, 3 April, 2023. Lucille, you said more than enough. It was fantastic. The media today, a complete embarrassment, not even worthy of being able to look at this in any kind of straight linear fashion. So we had to put there a combination of what German was expressionism to and the OJ fiasco. That circus is equivalent to this circus as the media stumbles all over themselves to try to essentially put Donald J. Trump in prison. The reason is they can't beat him at the ballot box. We know he's going to win the primary. We know he's going to win the general election. We know he's going to return to the White House. Another disgrace of the American ruling class. We have Gavin Wax. We have Rogan O'Hanley to join us to kick it off. And we're going to see where we go from there. We'll be back in the War Room in just a moment. And you are over. Because we're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong.
Here's
your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Some rabble rousers thinking about coming to our city tomorrow, our message is clear and simple. Control yourselves. New York City is our home, not a playground for your misplaced anger. We are the safest large city in America because we respect the rule
this
of
is,
the law.
This guy is subliterate. He's a complete moron and has taken one of the greatest cities in the world and destroyed it single-handedly. Or I guess not single-handedly. He's had help with Letitia James and Alvin Bragg and others, George Soros. Gavin Wax, that was directed directly at you, a little bit at MTG, but directly at you. What's your response, sir?
Well, before I touch on the mayor's moronic comments, I want to touch on the point you made about the opening and it being sort of German expressionism. And, you know, that artistic movement reflected the societal undertones and sentiment in Weimar Germany that they were on an inevitable path towards totalitarianism. And I think the same, sadly, could be said about today's United States, that we are on the path to a totalitarian society. And comments and sentiment like those from Mayor Adams, you know, perfectly encapsulate that. You know, this is a man who is presiding over a city where is seeing a across the board, you know, a crime wave statistically. You feel it in the air. You feel it on the streets. The city is hitting a low point in many respects. And, you know, I'm a lifelong New Yorker. I was here during the Summer of the Love. I saw the violence. I saw Antifa. I saw the anarchy, the anarcho-tyranny that people like Adams and his ilk have presided over. And for him to come out and claim that and to talk to, you know, Republicans and conservatives and you know, God-fearing Americans as some kind of children who need to be scolded, it just reflects the elite's utter disdain for the people. And he even references it as if these people are all coming from out of state. I can assure you most of the people that will be at our protest tomorrow will be from not only from the state of New York, most likely, but also from the city of New York, which is home to millions, including a large percentage of Trump supporters. So Mayor Adams should get his priorities straight, his house in order, and he should stop lecturing people on how to behave and start handling the anarchy that is New York City and his out of control district attorney who tried to prosecute a garage attendant who miraculously was able to save his own life when he was shot at by a thief and kill that criminal. And he's prosecuting the guy who defended his own life, who acted in self-defense. That just goes to show the levels of anarcho-tyranny in this city and that Alvin Bragg wouldn't even consider dropping charges until there was a media uproar. So that's the state of the city. And I think if anyone needs to be lectured, it's Mayor Adams.
I want to talk about this anarcho-terrorism for a second because they also remember the bodega the guy running the bodega, the guy that was, you know, had to stand his ground to defend himself. They did the same thing. Tell the audience, particularly people that don't live in New York City. I know, look, I love the city. I've lived in there for many years before I took over the Trump campaign. But tell people about what's happened under Adams and Bragg's watch in this most magnificent city, sir.
And de Blasio. And like you, I'm a fellow romantic for the city. I love it. You know, I grew up here and it's sad to see what it's becoming. And you're referencing another case that just really showcases the state of decline in America's you know, largest city, the Jose Alba case, where an honest working Dominican immigrant who was working in a bodega tried to defend himself from being robbed and killed and attacked with a knife. And he killed the perpetrator. And it took, I don't even remember how long, almost a month. If close to that, when public pressure mounted, when all the different constituent groups of the Democrat machine were in uproar against Alvin Bragg, you had the whole Bronx in uproar, the Bodega Association, all the Dominican American associations, they were in uproar that Alvin Bragg would continue to prosecute and press charges against Jose Alba. And just to show the state of the city, where did Jose Alba go when he was finally cleared by Alvin Bragg, the gracious Alvin Bragg? He left. He moved back to the Dominican Republic. This guy came here looking for the American dream, and he ended up fleeing because he was on the receiving end of a nihilistic worldview that wants to punish the law-abiding and reward the criminals. It's a worldview that places the criminals above the victims, and this has been You know, this has happened again and again and again, and it continues to happen. And, you know, we know a few of the big cases, but it happens every day. And it's part of a demoralization campaign. It's demoralizing the police department, New York City's finest. It's demoralizing the citizens. And in this case, in the fight against Trump, in the indictment against Trump, it's designed to demoralize conservatives and America First supporters to think that everything is bleak and it's all hopeless, that they could, you know, they could come after the president, they could come after you. So you better stay home, you better stay quiet, and you better be afraid. And that's why the New York Republican Club is standing up, and we are going to be downtown tomorrow with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene to let our voices be heard and let Alvin Bragg and the rest of the corrupt New York leftist establishment know that we're not afraid, and we're not going to let them get away with this prosecution and persecution of the president without letting our voices be heard.
Gavin, if you can hang with us for 1 second, I want to get more into the details. I want to bring in Rogan O'Hanley. Rogan, a lot of people know you as a major influencer and a thought leader in the conservative and the MAGA movement. A lot of people don't know you went to the University of Chicago Law School and have a very serious regard and reverence for the law. Give us your assessment, particularly the circus today in the media, of where we stand with this travesty, sir.
I warn every Republican businessman in New York City to look at what they're doing to Trump and just know that you're next. If you cross a political line in a hostile socialist city, you will not get fair justice. You will not be treated equally under the law. There's a clip floating around on Twitter today of Joe Biden where he really said the quiet part out loud. He said, "We are going to do everything we can within the bounds of the Constitution to ensure that Trump is not going to take power." And the magnitude of that statement, it almost supersedes what's happening with the Manhattan DA, because think of how far we come. This isn't a battle of ideas and we'll let the voters decide. This isn't, I'm going to run on my policies and my accomplishments. This was a man scared of what President Trump is going to do once he's back in power, which is actually go after the deep state, and saying that he's basically going to use every piece of power available to him to stop him, to indict him. I think this is only the first of a few indictments, unfortunately. And people have to remember Matthew Colangelo. He was the number three at the DOJ. He got hired by the Manhattan DA's office in December of 2022, 4 months ago, and voila, we have a Trump indictment months after Alvin Bragg himself said he was ending the investigation. So this is the deep state playbook. They sent Jim Baker into Twitter to stop the Hunter Biden laptop. They're doing the same thing with the Manhattan DA's office, and this all goes up to the top, Joe Biden, Obama, and the people around them.
Hang on for 1 second, Rogan. Brilliant analysis. Gavin, tell us, what can we anticipate for tomorrow? And if people are so interested, how do they get more information?
Absolutely. The protest has been moved up to 10:30 a.m. at Collect Pond, the historic park that stands right across from the courthouse where President Trump will be arraigned. Funny enough, it all used to be swampland, and then it was taken over by the Five Points. So it has a long history in New York City, both being a swamp and a center of crime and corruption and destitution. So I guess it remains that today. But 10:30 a.m. at Collect Pond, we will be protesting. We will be letting our voices be heard. We will be on the south side of the park. I've spoken to law enforcement officials. They are separating the park into two halves. The north will be for the counter-protesters, who I have been told are going to be extremely aggressive in some senses. They are going to be banging drums, trying to silence us, but we will be letting our voices be heard. And I encourage all freedom-loving patriots to assemble and be peaceful and show the New York City officials that we are not the stereotype of the deplorable that they like to paint a caricature of.
Can I ask, 10:30, the president's not arraigned, I think, till 2:15. Correct? Or is he going to get there earlier? Why are you starting at 10:30 now?
So originally, I was told that it was going to be 2:15. Now I'm hearing it is 11. So we wanted to be there shortly before. So by the time 11 or so comes around, that a decent crowd is built up. So this was a very last minute change of time. So anyone who was planning to come, we originally said 12. We're now saying 10:30, a little earlier. So, you know, you should have no problem getting up if you're a Trump supporter. You're used to going to work.
Gavin, where can people go to get more information about what's going to transpire tomorrow?
You could go to the NYYRC's website, nyyrc.com, to events. That'll bring you to the rally's Eventbrite page. You can sign up. You'll be on the email list. You'll get notifications. Everyone who signed up will get an email from us for where to enter, how to enter, what side to be on. You know, there's strength in numbers. Stay together. Don't be stupid. Be safe. And, you know, let's have a good show and show that there is support for Trump behind enemy lines in the belly of the beast.
We got about a minute left. As a New Yorker, can you give me a 60-second response directly to Eric Adams, who applied? They were out-of-towners, and these are all hooligans from out of state and out of town. Give us your response as a New Yorker to Eric Adams.
Eric Adams, I know you don't get out of Manhattan much these days, but it's a five-borough town, and there are a lot of Republicans here, believe it or not. And even if they're not Republicans, there's a lot of common-sense New Yorkers who see this prosecution and persecution for what it is, a witch hunt, a politicized witch hunt. So you should treat them with respect and understand that there is a lot of violence in this city, including political violence, but it's coming from the side that you represent, largely from the left. And you should get with the program and realize that there are a lot of America-loving, God-fearing, law-abiding Republicans in your city who want to exercise their First Amendment rights, and they don't need to be ridiculed or lectured.
Gavin, what is your social media? What are your coordinates?
You can follow me at Gavin Wax, G-A-V-I-N-W-A-X. That's on Getter, Twitter, Instagram, all the rest. You know, I write for American Greatness, Town Hall, Newsmax. You can check out my writings. They're all on GavinWax.com. And I appreciate you for having me on, Steve.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you for tomorrow. Okay, short commercial break. Rogan O'Hanley, DC Drano will join us on the other side.
Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. We rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP. They have all.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Back in December, Bragg hired this very senior Obama and Biden administration official. His name is Matt Colangelo, is I think how I pronounce his last name. It's C-O-L-A-N-G-E-L-O, Colangelo. And Matt Colangelo is the guy who's driving this. He is the link between the Biden Justice Department and Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, the George Soros-backed left-wing prosecutor. And if you look at the media coverage when Bragg hired Colangelo back in December, like, for example, CNN, this is how they reported it, that CNN says, CNN simply reported that Colangelo was, quote, a senior official in the U.S. Justice Department, and before that served as an attorney on the Trump Foundation investigation with the New York Attorney General's office. They're covering up his background.
Okay, let's get the picture. If Denver can get the picture we did this morning. Rogan O'Hanley, we did this morning, Mike Davis, but I want to do it one more time with you. This just didn't come up. Forget the misdirection play. It's this grand jury. It's America, you know, it's a group of citizens. And this has been in the works, as you said, for a long time. And they brought in heavy hitters that are interconnected and inextricably linked to Eric Holder, the radical civil rights division of the Justice Department under him in Obama. And now Biden. Walk me through why this guy, Colangelo, is so dangerous and has come after Trump so hard.
Well, he was the number three at the DOJ. He was the acting associate attorney general, appointed by Biden, I don't believe confirmed by the Senate. And then he gets, you know, sent on this sabbatical to the Manhattan DA's office for the cleanup crew. Alvin Bragg came into office and explicitly said, I'm dropping these Trump investigations. There's no there. People resigned in a huff. Clinton lawyers, all these people that Rosencrantz, I think, or Rosenprinz. And for 8 or 9 months, it was kind of quiet. And then Matthew Colangelo gets, you know, harvested out. I really think this is the linchpin where Jim Jordan and others can really dig a wedge into this investigation and prove the link between the Biden DOJ and the Manhattan DA's office. That shows that this is not a local criminal issue. Remember, they're using, allegedly, we haven't seen the charges yet, an election campaign violation, which is a federal level issue that the DOJ declined to prosecute, and they're making it a state issue. Okay, so that's their very wobbly link. But I think, again, congressional hearings can get to the bottom of this, and this is how you delegitimize this illegitimate investigation by showing that this is coordinated from the top at the White House.
I want to go, before I lose you, NBC, Vaughn Hilliard, and Jonathan Allen, who are probably the two best they've got, have got a so to have those two working on one thing shows you the importance of it. It's talking about influencers, the importance of influencers on this campaign. And it actually talks Trump's online war machine trains its weapons on Ron DeSantis. Can you give us your response to this piece? Because there's, for folks that don't follow it, I know a lot of our audience does it on a day-by-day basis. There's been some pretty good, giving and taking of shots by people that many of whom have worked together for years on the same side of the football. Can you walk us through what's going on in your mind? You're one of the top influencers in the business.
Yeah, so, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, this almost didn't exist outside of a few, you know, long-timers, Posobiec, Loomer, you know, Milo at the time. They were kind of the OG influencers. And then Trump's ascension to office created this massive social media ecosystem that obviously they've tried to censor because it's so powerful. You know, when Trump got elected in 2016, I had zero followers. I have over 4.5 million now. You got people like Benny Johnson with over 5 million. You got Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens. Candace Owens had zero followers when Trump got elected the first time. She's probably got over 10 million now, okay? Charlie Kirk's probably got over 10 million. So the combined effect of these, you know, influencers, political commentators, whatever you want to say, I think is a very powerful force for getting a message out, for activism. You know, in full transparency, I don't think we really hit the 60-year-old and up demographic that well because they're not really on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, but that target range, 18 years old to, you know, mid 40s, late early 50s, I think that's where they're getting most of their news is from citizen journalists. So, you know, I would say 95%+ of us all support President Trump. So it's really hard to win the social media war, the PR war, when Trump has such established loyalists because we really don't exist without him. And that's one of the things that we kind of have a little, you know, we're a little bit upset about with Governor DeSantis. As much as we love him as a Florida governor, you know, I'll never talk bad about what he's doing in that regard. We think there's a little bit of disloyalty in the fact that Trump endorsed him and now he's trying to run against them, especially as he's being demolished by, you know, the Democrat wood chipper. So we hit him on that. That was the first time I've hit him. It's really the only time. But we need all hands on deck to support this guy. And then in 2028, it'll be DeSantis.
It's interesting. There's so many ironies here. One, Cernovich and some of the original guys, and I said it from when I was at Breitbart in 14, 15, and then obviously in 16, but when I took over the campaign, it's very tough to think about Trump being president if he didn't have those original, which were influencers, just starting the Cernoviches of the world. They were a major force in 2016 that the Hillary Clinton team totally undercounted. The interesting thing today, you've got some of the people that worked together closely or some of the people that were there when you guys all came up that are now going at it pretty hard. What's your assessment of that? And interesting enough, a lot of you guys happen to live in Florida too. So tell me, give me a couple of minutes on that.
Yeah, we all did migrate here. You know, it's interesting. Gavin Wax, you had on, he's tremendous. I can't say enough good things about him. It's easy to be a MAGA guy in Florida. It's a lot harder in New York City, but he has the number one young Republican club by size. Number two is Tampa, Florida. We've got the second biggest young Republican group. I go to those meetings. There's 300 young people showing up. Florida is a powerhouse for that. And you know what? It's primary season. No one in this kind of, you know, influencer political game is all that sensitive. They're used to taking it on the chin when they put forth their opinion. So we all kind of get it. Everyone's keeping it above the belt. But, you know, I've certainly got hit by some people that I helped support when they were younger. But listen, that's I think it sharpens everybody's swords. And I know for a fact that whoever the nominee ends up being, it's going to be Trump. But we're all going to join together and support him.
DC Drano, what are your coordinates? How do people find out more about you, your writings, and what you put out up on the internet every day?
Yeah, DC underscore Drano stands for draining the DC swamp. So I'm on all the platforms. I don't really YouTube that much, but everything else.
Rogan, thank you for joining us here, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
Do I have, is Laura ready? Okay, can we get Laura Loomer? You were called one of the OG influencers. Tell us what's going on here. I got a great clip of you today. We're going to play that in a minute. But give me your sense overall of your perception of what is going on in New York City to President Trump.
Well, it's a witch hunt, right? I made that very clear today on the ground here in Palm Beach at the rally that I organized in support of President Trump. You have this Soros-funded district attorney, Alvin Bragg, who is out to get Trump. And as I posted on Twitter the other day, all of these leftists who dislike Donald Trump and don't want him in the White House, okay, they all have their own individual unique reasons for why they don't want him in office. And so there was massive support on the ground for President Trump today as he made his way to Palm Beach International Airport in his motorcade. And I think that everybody is really starting to see this for what it is. I had some off the record conversations with some members of the media as well. Some of these members of the media were flown out here today from New York, and they even shared with me privately. I'm not going to disclose their names, but they work for major publications that they think it's wrong. And there was a woman there today whose son was an NYPD officer and told me that a lot of the cops were going to have blue flu tomorrow and that there's talks among themselves on their own private chats that a lot of them are going to call out sick because nobody wants to process Trump.
Give me that again. You think that there's going to be a lot of the NYPD, just because they're so outraged by this, will decide not to come in tomorrow?
Yeah, the mother of one of these NYPD officers, whose her son is now going to be transferring to Boynton, which is in Palm Beach County, where I ran for Congress in 2020, said that her son told her that a lot of the police officers in the NYPD are going to have what they call blue flu. And blue flu is a term in law enforcement that they use for when police officers don't want to have to carry out a mission or a task at hand that they've been ordered to do by their superiors. And in this case, right, they don't want to have to handcuff President Trump and have to process him and fingerprint him and give him a mugshot. And so she said her son was told by some of his colleagues in the NYPD that there's going to be a massive sick day tomorrow from a lot of these officers who are going to be intentionally calling in sick so they don't have to take any part of what's happening tomorrow.
What did you think of Eric Adams singling out MTG and, of course, Gavin Wax and the New York Young Republicans Club, and warning them about their First Amendment right for free speech protest tomorrow, ma'am?
Well, look, I think it's really interesting that they want to crack down on the speech of conservatives and Trump supporters. But he was nowhere to be found when Black Lives Matter was carrying out millions of dollars of property damage to residents of New York City. And so once again, right, free speech for thee, not for me, and rules for thee. But just a totally different justice system, a totally different application of the United States Constitution. These are the types of officials, right? You have people like Eric Adams and Bill de Blasio, who openly encourage people to take to the streets and riot for Black Lives Matter and for Antifa and to protest in the Women's March. And, you know, I was in D.C. For the first inauguration of President Trump, and you had politicians that were sitting by encouraging Antifa's actions as they were throwing Molotov cocktails into cars and spray painting F Donald Trump all over buildings. They did this in New York City as well. And so I think a lot of this, hypocrisy with regards to the application of the law, depending on what your political affiliation is really starting to become too much for even your everyday person who's not really political.
Can we go ahead and play the, clip? And then I'm going to come back. We're going to go to break, and we're going to bring Laura in to talk about the online war machine of President Trump, as NBC calls it. Can I go ahead and hear that clip? Now, Laura, why do you want to arrest? Why do you want to arrest Alvin Bragg? We got 30 seconds, ma'am.
Well, he's guilty of using federal funds illegally to carry out this probe against President Donald Trump. There was a big Breitbart article that was published this last week. Look, I think that if they're going to talk about arresting people and indicting people for violating the law, and Nancy Pelosi is going to talk about people not being above the law, then let's start applying the law equally. Let's start sending Nancy Pelosi to jail for insider trading. Let's arrest Alvin Bragg for weaponizing federal funds against President Trump for a partisan witch hunt.
Laura Loomer, hang on for a second. We're going to talk about this NBC Vaughn Hilliard, Jonathan Allen piece about the Trump online war machine after a short break here in the war room.
Has arrived. The new social media taking on big tech, protecting free speech, and canceling cancel culture. Join the marketplace of ideas. The platform for independent thought has arrived. Superior technology. No more selling your personal data. No more censorship. No more cancel culture. Enough. Getter has arrived. It's time to say what you want, the way you want. Download now.
Okay, welcome back. 7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tonight. Jane Zirkel, Grace Chung, Captain Bannon will be hosting Scott Presler live from Wisconsin about this massively important election that's going to take place tomorrow for the Supreme Court. They'll be getting his take on the ground game there. Make sure you don't miss it. We're doing stuff like this every day on Getter. The app's totally free. Just download it and get up on it. And you get all our great content, the immersive experience that is the War Room. Laura Loomer, the NBC article, quite well reported by Jonathan Allen and Vaughn Hilliard, Trump's online war machine trains its weapons on Ron DeSantis. One, is there an actual online war machine of President Trump? And ma'am, you are listed as one of the weapons. Are you a weapon?
Oh, yeah. I'm a weapon, right, Steve? That's why they had to keep me deplatformed. I'm such a weapon because I'm so effective in exposing the Uniparty that I had to be deplatformed by the most powerful tech companies in the world for 5 years, making me the most banned woman in the entire world. So, yeah, look, I'm effective at what I do, but what I do is I am very effective in exposing facts that that politicians don't want exposed to the public. And I've been leading the charge in exposing Ron DeSantis. I've been posting and exposing about Ron DeSantis and all of his ties to the Uniparty and the rhinos and the deep state and his disloyalty for against Donald Trump since 2021. And so people told me that it was going to be negative for my own political career, given that I ran for Congress in Florida. But I think that exposing the truth is more important than any selfish or any personal self-serving goal that I may have for myself. And so I've continued to post on a daily basis exposing Ron DeSantis and individuals who are within his camp. And yeah, there is a war machine, but it's organic. The difference between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis is that Donald Trump has a base. Ron DeSantis doesn't. Every single person who voted for Ron DeSantis did so at the behest of Donald Trump, telling them to do so in 2018. And so really, for the individuals online, it's ironic that they want to accuse Donald Trump of having a paid influencer team when Christina Pushaw, who is a registered foreign agent and is Ron DeSantis, DeSantis's rapid response director, she has been accused, and it's been reported in multiple publications, that she's paying online influencers to astroturf Governor DeSantis and his presidential campaign.
But don't you think that Governor DeSantis, given the job he's done as governor, don't you think he has his own base in Florida? Or you think that's still President Trump's base? And don't you think he's elicited enough enthusiasm by some people to have a natural group of his own influencers around him, ma'am?
I don't think that Ron DeSantis has a base of his own. I live in Florida, and I just spent today on the ground interviewing Floridians about this, asking them, and their loyalty is to President Donald Trump. And they said that they liked DeSantis and they voted for DeSantis because of Donald Trump endorsing him. But I just want to remind people, Florida has, always generally had Republican governors. And I think that people tend to use COVID as an outlier to create this, you know, false sense of reality that somehow Governor Ron DeSantis is exceptional when he really isn't. On the ground here in Florida, Ron DeSantis.
You don't think the 19-point victory was the second time, not the first time, but the 19-point victory is not exceptional?
I actually don't, because they ran him against Charlie Crist, who's probably one of the most disliked politicians in the state of Florida. Charlie Crist is the only politician I know of to run as a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent throughout his political career and lose. And so whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent, Charlie Crist has probably left a sour taste in your mouth. And so that was probably the easiest opponent they could have placed Governor DeSantis against. I think that if Nikki Fried had been the nominee for the Democrat Party, DeSantis's 20-point victory wouldn't have been as high. And I think that they need to kind of create this illusion. Also, too, Ashley Moody, who's the attorney general, from what I've seen, has received more votes than Governor Ron DeSantis did. And so they want to act like he received more votes than anybody here in the state of Florida. But that's just simply not the case. And so I think that there is a very coordinated effort to try to replace Donald Trump. I actually know there's a coordinated effort because all of the publications that are astroturfing DeSantis and trying to present him as the alternative to Trump are owned by Rupert Murdoch. And as I've been reporting on my Substack, lauralumer.substack.com, Rupert Murdoch, in these discovery dumps that are coming out in the lawsuit between Fox News and Dominion, said in his own words in text messages between himself and Paul Ryan and his son Lachlan, they want to make Donald Trump a non-person. And so when you know that he owns Fox News, News Corp, HarperCollins, which is the publishing company that just gave Ron DeSantis his multi-million dollar book deal. They own the New York Post. They own Wall Street Journal. I mean, obviously, you're going to be hit with the same talking points that, oh, Ron DeSantis is Trump without the baggage. Look, as a woman, I'm not going to take a knockoff designer purse when I could have the real thing. Why would you want a knockoff when you could have the real thing, right? That's how I look at the situation between Trump and DeSantis.
Laura, how do people follow you? What are your coordinates and how do they get to your Substack?
Well, you can subscribe to my Substack. It's lauralumer.substack.com. And you can read all my exposés on Ron DeSantis there. I have a lot. You can also follow me on Getter, Truth Social, Gab, and Twitter at Laura Loomer. And then I'm on Telegram at Loomered Official.
Laura, thank you very much. Honored to have you
on here. Yeah, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
We're going to have, I tell you what, with Crom, there's none of, I want to move Crom to the 6 o'clock hour. So can we get him rebooted so I can start with the Crom? Carmichael joins us today. But I just want to wrap up this hour and tee up the next hour. And also at 7:30 tonight, Wisconsin, remember, we cannot take our eye off the ball of the signal, the things that are most important. This election in Wisconsin is really the opening salvo in the 2024 presidential campaign. Whoever holds that seat and, hey, look, it's going to all come down to turnout, and that's what Scott Pressler is going to tell us about tonight. So Scott Pressler will join Captain Bennett, Grace Chung, Jane Zirkle in walking through about how you can still assist and help in Wisconsin and give us a report from the ground. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to get into more substantive things than this circus of Alvin Bragg and Eric Adams and what they're trying to do to the president after a short commercial break in hour two of the War Room. Be back in a moment. And you are over, 'cause we're taking down the CCP.